This is HPR episode 2588 entitled, Miniature Painting. It is hosted by Tutorto, and is about 29 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutorto rambles about how to paint miniatures while painting some toy soldiers.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
This is Tuukka, and I want to talk a little bit about miniature painting. And I'm actually painting those miniatures as I'm recording this episode. So, I like playing miniature games, and currently I'm working with a 50mm Ancient Britons for the DPA. And the method how I paint them is the pretty simple. The first step is to clean up the models, because these are metal models, and after they have been cast, there's a usual little bit of flash, little bit of seams and such on them that need to be taken off, and I use a small files to file all those things away. Basically, I just go through whole model and see if there are any pieces that need to be filed down. After that, the next step is base coating. I have tried to several different ways of base coating. The reason why I base coat the models is that I find it generally easier to paint when there's a uniform color under the paint, and there's a little bit of a rough surface so that the paint sticks to it better. If I have tried to painting directly on the metal, but that doesn't really work well. The paint just don't seem to work particularly well on there. So for base coating, I used to do spray paints, but that was a bit messy, and the results weren't that good in the end. And then I started using gesso. I'm using Taylor Rovni gesso primer. This isn't actually real gesso, but this is one for the acrylics. And I bought this huge tub from the art store, because usually the gesso is used for framing canvases before painting. But I bought that from art store, and directly using that doesn't work. That's a way too thick. It obscures the details and makes a too textured surface. But I found that if you thin it just a little bit with water, it took a bit experimenting to find the nice formula for thinning it, but after a little bit of experiment, it worked out. And the gesso is really good, because you can generally, when you thin it a little bit, you can just liberally slap it on the model with a paintbrush, and it doesn't obscure the details. It might seem that it obscures the details, but when the gesso dries, it shrinks a lot, and all the details are again visible. The main thing while doing that is to make sure that if there's a if there's a, for example, between the legs of a model, if you put on the gesso, it sometimes form a film there because of the surface tension. And if you leave that film there, it will dry on and make a bad looking sort of webbed surface where there shouldn't be anything. So that's something that you need to pay a little bit attention to. But and another thing is that if you thin it too much, it might not cover enough. But that's a less of a problem, because then you can just wait for the gesso to dry. It usually dries relatively quickly, like 10 to 15 minutes, and then just apply another coat. And after the models have been primed, I go through them once more, check that all the nooks and crannies, all the little hidden away details have been covered, so that the whole model is uniformly covered black. And at this point, I might still use if I find a spot where there isn't uniform black color, I might use a gesso to fix that, or if the area is really small, I just use the regular black paint. After that, there's a time to start painting. I use nowadays I use the army paints from the the army paints, war paints. These are little dropper bottles. They have a nice selection of colors, and I'm very happy with the quality of the paints. Some colors, some lighter colors especially, don't work that well on top of the black, because they don't cover it in one coat. So you have to either paint multiple coats or start with some color that covers the black better, and then work from there towards the color that you want. For example, if I want a yellow, this one is called Demonic Yellow, I wouldn't paint that directly on top of the black, because that would mean that would require really many coats. But I could start with a light gray. For example, I have a stone golem or uniform gray, and paint that on top of the black, because that covers the black slightly better than the demonic yellow. I might start with the uniform gray, and on top of that put the stone golem, and on top of that put one or two coats of demonic yellow. I have found that method works pretty well. And the thing that I like about the paints, that they are, I think the word is translucent or transparent. I always mix those two things. But I like that they don't cover, not all colors cover that well. Because sometimes it's really annoying, like when you're painting on top of the black. But sometimes that's really useful, because you can easily mix the colors while painting on the model. You can paint one color, let it dry, and then paint another color, and the first color shows through a little bit. So you can create a nice blends and different colors, and without needing to mix the paints. Mixing the paints isn't that bad though, because these paints are in a dropper bottles, like I told. They have a little dropper, and you're supposed to drop the paint on the palette, and on the palette you can of course mix. And I use a lead palette for painting. That's just a small plastic box with some tissue paper in it that has been moistened with liberal amount of water, and on top of that paper I have a parchment paper. And on top of that parchment paper, I drop the colors. The idea is that the moisture keeps the parchment slightly moist, and that keeps the parchment in turn keeps the paint moist, so they don't dry dry that quickly. Now that it's summer, they of course do still dry eventually, but during the winter time when it's not so hot, I can mix colors on the paint, on the palette, paint on one evening and then continue on the next evening using those same colors. They don't dry, which is really, really nice. It also saves a little bit of paint, because usually when I drop some paint on the palette, I fail to estimate how much of paint I actually need and use a little bit too much. What else? For the brushes, I'm not very critical about the brushes. Some people have really strict preferences. I have heard that Kolinsky sable brushes are really cool, really great, but I haven't tried those. I don't think that with my skill, painting skills, that those high-end brushes would be wasted. Like, I still manage to do decent looting painting. I stay inside of the lines most of the time. But I'm happy with the, I'm actually using Army Painter paint process nowadays. And I have the character brush for the big stuff. And then I have this, another one is called Detail. That one is for the smaller stuff. They are even bigger ones, but those are way too big for these models, because these are, like I said, 50 millimeter models. And you have a foot soldier that is 15 millimeters tall, and you are painting the helmet, shoes and such, you do need a relatively small brush. One of the most annoying thing I did recently was painting a early imperial Roman army for the DPA, and that meant painting tons and tons of Roman sandals. So first you paint all the skin that is showing, wait it to dry, and then you paint the leather sandals or Caligula, and that gets old relatively quickly. I usually work from on the models. There's usually some surface that seems to be the farthest away, like sort of base of the model, like this horse I'm currently painting. I started with the body that I'm painting a light brown, and after the body has been finished, I will probably paint the mane and the tail, then the hooves, harnesses, all those little details. The final step will be painting socks and the markings on the horse. That thing I like about painting horses, because even if you have 20 or so horses in your army, you can just paint them each of them to look individual. Like they have a slightly different colors, slightly different of kinds of markings, and then there's of course a whole thing between the, I think they were called bay and something else. Well, there's different types of colorings that the horses have. When I was painting the ancient Roman, that early imperial Roman army, I actually went and researched on where the Romans of that time got their horses, what kind of breeds they used, and what kind of color colors those breeds usually had, and then painted the horses using those colors. And then I painted for each horse different kinds of markings. That was pretty interesting. One big thing about the miniature painting for me is doing the research and trying to figure out what kind of colors scheme to have on the army. And Osprey has nice books about different kinds of eras and nations and such that usually have nice pictures where you can get inspiration. And of course you can take the inspiration wherever. I was thinking that at some point when I'm painting my next army of Romans of different era, I'm going to pick the color scheme from the Asterix. So, dark green tunics and blue shields. Okay, after the models have been painted with the colors, I usually apply shading on them because they are small. You don't want, at least I don't want to, for example, paint the eyes of the models. They are way too small. So I just paint the whole face to skin color. And when it's dried, there are these quick shades. These are just translucent shades that you can just cover the whole model or part of the model. And when it dries, it shades the model in a way that recesses get darker than the raised surfaces. So that means that you automatically get darker areas on the where the model have eyes, and that looks pretty reasonable. Because the fact is that if you are looking a face of a man from a couple hundred meters, you don't see the eyes, you just see the shadows, and then your mindset fills in that okay, these shadows mean that there's eyes. So the models on the tabletop work in the similar way. After I have shaded the thing, I usually just go through the model once more, maybe pick up little details, maybe add up a little highlight there, here and there. Generally make sure that they are what I want them to be. After that, I add a varnish to protect the coat, paint coat. When I was painting plastic models, I didn't do that because plastic is a... For some reason, the paint stays on the plastic a lot better than on the metal. If you drop a plastic model, you usually don't chip the paint, but if you drop a metal model that hasn't been varnished, I usually lose some paint on that point, and then it means that I have to do some repairs. So I varnish the models. So far, I have been using this called game varnish. I actually don't know. This is Vallejo. I mean, this is manufactured by the Vallejo. It's a really good varnish. I'm really happy about that because it's a very matte. It doesn't create shiny surface. Sadly, that bottle is about to run out, so next I'm going to try the Army Painter Anti-Shine Matte Varnish and see how well that works. Part of the hobby is experimenting with all this stuff and trying to find out what things work and what things don't work, and talking with the other hobbyists and trying to exchange ideas and learning from each other. It's pretty interesting. After the model has been varnished, the model itself I consider ready at that point, but that doesn't mean that it's ready on the tabletop, because on the DPA, the you have multiple models on a base. For example, if you have a okay, elephants are just a single elephant because they are so huge. Same with the artillery pieces like caraballista and such. But for example, if you have a warband, that's three or four models, and if you have a horde, that's 7 models on a base. And so I'm using a small wooden bases that have been cut to the size. Sadly, I don't remember where I got these. I'm really happy about with these. These are light and not too thick, but thick enough that they are easy to handle on the table. But eventually I'm going to run out of those and I have to figure out a replacement for those. But until then I'll keep using those mystery bases that I got from somewhere that I don't remember anymore where I got them. I usually just take the models that I'm going to base and try them on the base, try to figure out what would be a good, nice arrangement for those. There isn't that much space for doing very dynamic scenes, but sometimes the order of the how they stand on the base makes big difference. I usually try to avoid having a two similar posed characters standing next to each other. That's one of the drawbacks using metal models, because with the metal models having different poses isn't as easy as with the plastic models, where you usually assemble the models by yourself. There are some metal models that you need to assemble, like elephants, chariots, for example, the legionaries, well, Roman foot soldiers that I painted had a separate shield, so you had to glue those, but they didn't really change the pose of the models. But anyway, I try to find a order and arrangement how I want the models to be posed, and when I'm happy with my idea, I glue them on the base. I'm using a Loctite power epoxy. This is a 2-component glue that dries in a 5 or so minutes. I have found that pretty nice. 5 minutes isn't awfully long time, so you cannot mix too much of the glue and try to base too many models at the one go, which is a bit of a drawback. But on the other hand, if you are gluing shields or spears, you don't have to hold the models together for long time. A liberal amount of glue tack helps there too, so sometimes when I'm gluing spears, for example, I glue them with a Loctite and attach them while they are drying with a glue tack. I had one long time ago when I was still playing the Warhammer, I had some last cannon guy who I glued with a metal huge cannon, and that glue tack thing, it didn't work out. So over the night I was using different epoxy back then that took half an hour to dry. So over the night the cannon just started slowly pointing downwards, and it ended up looking kind of silly. Poor Marine was shooting at his feet. But that's one of those things that you do once and then you learn. So I glue the models on the base with an epoxy, let it to dry, and then I'll start working on the basing. And basing is the fun part. I love doing that stuff. Like you have so many options. You can think about where the army is based, Like you can do highland stuff, or you can do jungle stuff, or you can do desert stuff, or what you have. There's endless opportunities. For example, these ancient bridges that I'm currently doing, after gluing the models, and after the models have dried on the place, I glued some very fine sand with PVA glue onto the base to give a little bit of texture. And after that had dried overnight, then I painted that sand dark brown and let that dry too. On top of the painted sand, I glued some patches of steppe grass. This is a steppe grass from the army painter. I seem to be using tons of army painter things nowadays. So I glued some steppe grass. That's a little, I think this is some synthetic stuff. The thing is that the name comes from the fact that if you have some static electricity, you can get that to the grass to stand up really nicely. But it also works like if you just drop it on a PVA glue and then blow on it gently. And I found that if you tin the PVA glue with a little bit of water, it works much better than using the straight PVA glue. So after the steppe grass, I attach a couple tufts. These are little, what would you call these? Well, little tufts of grass that I add here and there. And then I also have a little pieces of ground cork that look like a stones that I attach here and there, paint with a mixture of black and uniform gray, so that they look like stones with interesting patterns on them. And after that, after everything dries, the model is ready, and then it's rinse and repeat for the next model. And I mentioned assembling the models earlier. I usually like base coating the models when they are unassembled, and then painting them, and then gluing them when everything has been painted. The thing to remember when doing that is that you have to remove the paint from the surfaces that you are going to glue. Because otherwise, the first time you touch the glued piece, it will just move and rip the paint off. The paint isn't that strongly affixed on the model after all. So I use a small knife to scrape the paint off from the surfaces before gluing them. And well, the spears are what's the exception to that rule. Those are usually glued on place because they aren't too tricky to paint when they are attached. But for example, shields, I like painting separately because then you can paint both sides of the shield, and also you can paint the arms better that way when the shields aren't in the way. Some might argue that what's the point of painting the arms when they are mostly covered anyway, but if you look from the certain angle, you might be able to see from the unpainted arm, and that bothers me greatly. I like the models to look really nice, regardless of the direction that you are looking them from. And that's about it, I think. That's how I paint my little tiny tin soldiers. Maybe the next time I'll talk, I might talk about the DPA in general. But that's for the different time. Catch you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.